Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And today's sermon is called Love, a noun and a verb. A noun and a verb. A noun. It's strong affection for another. Affection and tenderness felt by lovers. Benevolence. Devotion. Brotherly concern for others. That is how it is defined as a noun. And can I say this to you? If your definition of love comes from Hollywood, you will be deceived. Love and romance are two different things. You can build your marriage on love. You cannot build your marriage on romance. Romance is, if I can be so crude, is nothing more than circus peanuts or marshmallows or cotton candy. Just a lot of hot air. Now, it's nice and it's entertaining, but we need love in our marriages. I hope you agree with that. Love. So love is also a verb. Means to hold dear, to cherish, to feel a lover's passion, devotion, or tenderness, to like or desire actively, to take pleasure in, to desire. Now, if you don't like those definitions, take it up with Webster. If I were to ask you to give book, chapter, and verse of the greatest love verses in the Bible, I wonder if it would be one of these. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How about this one from John 15:13? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. My particular favorite, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then from the prodigal son, Luke 15:20, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, would you stand with me for these readings, verse 12 through 17, the book of Colossians. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Charity means love in action. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And yet the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, may we ever be grateful for the love that has been shown to us by our Creator. And Lord, we ask that you would have your hand upon us this morning. May the Holy Spirit move amongst us, convicting us, touching our heart. May they say when they leave, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. As believers, we are to love one another. What is the greatest problem in our love lives? Clutter. Clutter. Now, in our homes, we can have clutter. I'm not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't have in your house, because I try to tell my wife what we should and shouldn't have in our house, and she says, mind your own business. Okay? But the fact is, in many of our love lives, we have clutter. Now, when we think of love life, we think of husband and wife, wife and husband. But, of course, we can also think of parents to children and children to parents and siblings. You love your siblings? Okay, I heard some. We got siblings sitting together over here. That's always a good thing, right? Yeah, go ahead, hit her in the shoulder. Yes. But we find that clutter gets in the way. Clutter means disorder, confusion. Think we have a lot of confusion in our marriages today? See, a lot of problems is that we listen to Hollywood or we listen to Hallmark commercials or their movies and we think that's what love is. Love is hard. You say, oh no, it's easy, baloney. Most of us put ourselves first. But the fact is we ought to put our mate first. Is that scriptural? If you read 1 Corinthians 13, you know that it's putting their mate first. But let me start this message about love with a question to you that are married. Now, it's to all of us, but this is a question directed to you that are married. If I were to ask your spouse why they would be a fool to leave you, did you understand what that question is? Why would they be a fool to leave you? Could they give me a dozen reasons? Or five reasons? Or one reason? Could they give a reason why they would be a fool to love you? I mean, to leave you. Boy, that came out wrong. Whoa. In 1992, Dr. Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. Maybe you have it at home. Since then, millions of this book have been purchased. I hope as many have been read. It has been translated into dozens of languages. He writes, to know Christ is to share his love. And he has five love languages. Number one, words of affirmation, which means using encouraging, kind, and humble words that will uplift your spouse, your children, or your friends. Now, since it's written for husbands and wives, to uplift your mate. We used to have a couple that came to church that every time he spoke about his wife, it was critical. He was constantly building himself up by tearing her down. On the same hand, we used to have a family that came and she continually cut him down. Never said anything good about him. And it was kind of sad because that shouldn't be the way it is. We should be willing to talk about our mate in a positive way, especially when we are with them alone. Number two, gifts. Conveying visible signs of love through tokens of appreciation. Now, that's how I show love. Okay? Now, I may do the other things, but that's how I show love. My wife can tell you that I show love by giving gifts. Do you realize I buy things for her dogs because I love her? Simply put, I'll see something that I think the dogs may like, and I bring it home, and I don't give it to the dogs. I give it to Donna. That is how I show love. How do you show love? Do you show love? Or do you demand love? Number three, acts of service. Doing something for another that you know they would like you to do, such as preparing a favorite meal or the baking of chocolate chip cookies. Isn't that always a sign of love, the baking of chocolate chip cookies? Yeah. Okay. But anyways, do you do something for your mate? Uncalled for, just simply because you love them? Physical touch. Expressing affection through hugs, embraces, kissing, or intimacy. That is important in love, that we do these things. Quality time. Do you think quality time is important? Some have said, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. That you're willing to spend time with your mate. Time with your children. You know, we had a couple of grandchildren over for Friday night. How are grandparents supposed to treat their grandkids? Special? Spoil? And then what do? Send them home. So we had two, and then Brian and Erica came to pick them up, but they were going to go out to eat. And so we had four, which we had for dinner. And any reason to have Jet's Pizza is always a good reason to have your grandkids over, right? And so we're done with the meal, and we had some potato chips and whatnot. And you know what those buggers began doing? You know what they began doing? They began looking for candy. And they found some, and they're sharing it. I'm glad they were sharing it. And so when their parents got there, they were hyper. And I was glad they were going home, because I thought, whoa, I can't handle much more of this. But you give them the candy at the end, right? But I'm going to tell you, it's good to have kids and spend quality time with them. I wish, and I don't say this to be nasty, but I wish my grandparents would have spent time with me. We'd go to one of my grandparents' house, and all she was interested in was in the bottle. We'd be taken home early because she'd get a little bit, well, those who drink, how they get. Maybe you've had a relative like that. I only had one grandpa. The other had died when my dad was six. And I don't say this to shame him. He never once said he loved me. Never once said he liked me. Never once asked me how I was. I had to sit by him at dinner. All he ever said was pass the meat, pass the potatoes, pass this, pass that. Was it. As soon as dinner was over, he went in the front room, took out the newspaper, read it till his head hit the back of the table, or chair. Grandparents, love your grandkids. Care for them. And as for your children, good night, I have a granddaughter, 23. They grow up so fast. They grow up all so fast. Love them, because they'll be gone soon. Care for them. Love. Take the book of Genesis, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, that little bit about grandparents, that was free. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she is called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall what? Cleave. Is that word important? What does it mean to cleave? Hold tight. Hold tight. Folks, there's a lot of things in our world today that are pulling our families apart. I was reading about those who have the gender confusion. You know, the average percent of people who commit suicide in America is 4%. Those who change sexes, 41%. Do you realize that in certain states, the state has the right to change your child if you don't want to do it? Do you know in certain of our jurisdictions around our country, they have the right to give the COVID vaccine, even if the parents don't want it. See, this is where we're at in today's society, where government is taking control. You say, is that where we're at today? It is what is happening today. But moving along, what we find is confusion in our society because they have left the greatest love book in all the world. You know what the greatest love book in all the world is? It's the Bible. And they want nothing to do with it. They want to rid our society of it. And that's sad. Because without this great love book, people are dying and going to hell. And he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So we are to be tender, compassionate. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to try to move along quickly. Try to catch up. I got the wind behind me. I'm going to move quick. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28. Familiar words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, the just calling the unjust to come and have interaction with him. Auburn Shire Elementary School, it's no longer there. It's been razed to the ground. Fifth grade. All of us were taken to the cafeteria, the gym, the eating area, whatever, you know, all-purpose room, you know what it is in an elementary school. And we were going to see how many of us had any musical abilities. And they were going to find out if any of us wanted to be able to sing. They wanted to find out if we could play any musical instruments. And so there I am in with all the rest of my fifth grade students, and they're all saying what type of musical instrument they'd want to play. And the only one I really knew was those little black things, what do they call them, recorders? Recorders. And I said, well, maybe a recorder. She wrote it down. She says, can you sing? And she gave me some words, and I sang. She said, can you sing higher? So I sang louder. And so we all go back to the room, and the next day the teacher says, okay, the following have been asked to come back to the cafeteria area. And she read two or three names, and she goes, wait a minute, Paul, and called another name. You just stay here, the rest of you go. Honest. Honest. I've been a broken man ever since. Do you ever feel unwanted? Maybe you've been there. Now, maybe not that experience. I hope not. But Jesus didn't look and say, all the qualified people, all the smart people, all the good-looking people, you come, the rest of you don't bother. No, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy burden. He wants us to come to him. You know, we think we know what love is. Can I tell you this without feeling that you can contradict me? We don't know what love is at all until we meet our Lord. And when we meet Jesus, then we will understand love. We'll totally understand love. Take my yoke upon me. See, boundaries and rules are good for our children. When I worked for the Arlington Community Schools, they had the bright idea that the new schools were going to be, the new elementary schools would have no walls inside. No walls. The only dividing thing between the classes were rollaway coat racks. Now, I worked for a floating crew. What we did is we filled in for those who were sick. And so I went into all the elementary schools, so I knew the oldest elementary school and the newest ones. And I asked the teacher one day who still was there, I said, how's this new concept working? And she kind of, you know, do one of those things. Looks, I can't do it right now, but like, they're nuts. Some kids, if they were in the wrong place, could hear their teacher and two other teachers at the same time, three teachers all teaching at the same time. How well do you think you could learn? See, we need boundaries and we need rules. And when you take away the boundaries and rules, you have confused children. And it's the same in our marriages. There are boundaries and there are rules. Now, if I told Donna, I don't think we need to have any boundaries in our lives anymore. I think we should be able to go out and find whoever we want. The problem is she'd find people a whole lot easier than I would. But the fact is, what do you think about marriages like that? Do they work? No, they don't work. We need boundaries and we need rules. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Jesus is our example. He is the greatest giver in all life. You say, well, God the Father gave him, but he was willing to be given. He was willing to come on our behalf. Write this down. It's not original with me. I'll give you a moment to get your ink pen or pencil out. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Now, that's not original with me, but the fact is, lots of people give things because they feel they have to. But when you love, you can't help but give. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. The reason we take his yoke and learn of him is it's not about us, it's about him. And we need to know about him. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Peace of mind in a world of unrest, turmoil, disorder, and confusion. Can I tell you what the number one reason for divorce is in America? Selfishness. Selfishness. Now you say, well, it's gambling. No, gambling is selfishness. Alcohol. No, it's selfishness. I want. And what I want is more important than what you want. And selfishness is ruining the marriages in our country. See, we think it's all about us, but love is about loving the one that we're with. Can I say this? It's better to be poor and innocent than rich and guilty. It's better to be content than a malcontent. It's better to be satisfied with little than dissatisfied with much. It's better to be robbed than the robber. Which brings us to the conclusion. You say, Pastor Paul, you've been moving. Yes, because I want to get done. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, put on charity. He wrote to the church at Corinth, follow after charity. Because charity is love in action. It's unconditional love. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now as we begin at verse 4, we are describing Jesus Christ. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. And then verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Love in action. It's easy to say, I love you. It's a lot harder to show it, to prove it, because actions speak louder than words. Do you know the one who put love in action? Do you follow after the one who put love in action? Have you put on charity? Shall we stand together? We're going to sing, There's a Great Day Coming. And as we have done in the past, Pastor Stephen, I will ask that you start with the last verse, and then we'll go to the first verse. But there is a great day because we will see our Lord and Savior. But for those that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, we'll spend eternity where there is no love and there is no light. There's just anguish and remembrance of what could have been. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that at this invitation time that your hand would move, that hearts would be touched. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.